Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Ayin Hey. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading, where we've written Sliyas HaPesach Be'askelo. We'll be discussing the roasting of the Pesach on a griddle. And the Pesach, of course, is a reference to the Korban Pesach. And in the parentheses, we've added Liyashev She'elas Maisa Listor. The role of the Gemara here is to resolve that which we noted when we were learning the Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Dalid, that the Mishnah had mentioned one should not roast the Pesach on a griddle, and then it featured an incident involving Rabbi Gamliel where it was roasted on an askelah. Generally, a Maisa is brought, an incident is brought in a Mishnah to illustrate the halacha that was taught. And in this case, we have the opposite taking place. So the Gemara asks, after the Dibur Masl, Ein Soilinus HaPesach V'chulei, and the V'chulei, the etc. of this Dibur Masl, draws your attention to the Maisa with Ram Gamliel, where he instructed for the Pesach to be roasted on an askelah. So the Gemara asks, Maisa Listor, are you quoting an incident, the incident involving Ram Gamliel and his slave Tevi, to contradict the law that was taught earlier in the Mishnah? Namely, the law before had said not to roast on an askelah, and the incident featured the roasting on an askelah. So the Gemara answers, Chisuri Mechasra Vahochi Kotani. The Mishnah was taught in an abbreviated fashion, but more is to be inserted as far as the understanding of the Mishnah, and it would read thusly. The frame section is, in effect, the full understanding of the Mishnah. Ve'im askelo menukeves mutar. The Mishnah had taught that one should not roast on a griddle. However, if the griddle happens to have holes in it, whereby the fire will enter the holes and thereby roast the Korban Pesach, so that's okay. The Omar Rabbi Yitzadok, Maisim Ram Liel, Shomar LeTevi Avdu, an incident involving Ram Liel and his instructions to Tevi, that's the name of his Evid, his slave, Tsei Vitzalei Lonu Es HaPesach Alo Askelo Minu Keves, where he told his slave, go and roast for us the Korban Pesach on an askelah, on a griddle that is minukeves. You notice we dashed, underlined the expression minukeves again, to emphasize that is the improved understanding of the Mishnah. So there is no contradiction. The Mishnah teaches a prohibition of using a solid griddle. If, however, the griddle has holes in it, the Mishnah teaches it is allowed, and the incident featured in the Mishnah illustrates that permission. Bo mine Rav Chinino bar Idi me Rav Ado bar Avo. Rav Chinino raises a question. Tanur shisikoi beklipe orlo. An oven that was heated up, fired up. His secret was to ignite the fuel and heat it up, heat up the oven. And the fuel that was used were shells or peels of orla fruits. Orla are fruits that are within the first 3 years of a tree's life. The fruits are strictly forbidden not only to eat but to benefit from. And that prohibition includes the shells or fruits of orla fruits. So you have a tanur that was heated up using klipe orla, the gorfoi, and then the coals were cleaned out, were scraped out, so you're left with a tanur that just has intense heat in it without the fuel source right now. The ofa boi esapas, and then someone baked bread in that heated oven. L'divrei ha'oiser mahu. According to the opinion that was what we saw earlier in this Masichta that says that if you don't scrape out the coals, if you don't scrape out the burning peels of Orla, so then the bread that is baked in such an oven is forbidden. And there's a concept that we have learned in the past called Shvach Eitzim Bepas. The improvement of the Eitzim is an expression referring to the fuel. In this case, you're dealing with forbidden fuel. The improvement that the fuel affords to the bread, to the dough that's baked into bread, is perceived, a perceived improvement, and hence the bread would be forbidden. Mahu, the question here is, what is the halacha when it's gorfoi, when it's scraped out, when the forbidden fuel is no longer present, and all you have is the heat that it generated? So what is the story, what is the legal ruling with regard to the bread? Amale, so Rav Ado answered, hapas muteres, the bread is allowed. Omale, Rav Chinuna asks a question. You'll notice this lasts a few lines. The Omar Rav Chinuna Sabo, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan. Was it not said by Rav Yochanan, Tano Shisiko Vigorfoi? Notice we dashed on Vigorfo. It's a parallel situation to the halacha that he just ruled on. Here you have an oven that was fired up, and it was then the fuel was scraped out. Vitzola boy esa pesach, and the korban pesach was roasted in this heated environment with the fuel no longer there. That's why we emphasize it gorfoy. Ein ze tzliesh. This does not constitute the required roasting of the Torah for the korban pesach. Shenemar tzliesh. Tzli'esh shtei pomim, because in the psukim referring to the Korban Pesach, the term Tzli'esh is repeated, and as a repeated expression, we conclude that the scraped out oven is not suitable for the Pesach preparation. And now we make an inference. Taimo degoli rachmona Tzli'esh shtei pomim. The reason by the Pesach it's not considered a fulfillment of the Tzli'esh requirement, the Tzli'esh is roasted by fire. Why by the Pesach does the heated oven, after its fuel is scraped out, why is it not considered a fulfillment? Because it says Tzli'esh shtei pomim, ha lo goli rachmona, had the Torah not made a special revelation, like in the case of our bread baking, have amino, I would have thought Tzli'esh hu, that it is considered Tzli'esh, it's considered on a formal level, it's considered a roasting, and as far as the bread is concerned, the bread should be considered forbidden. So the question then is regarding Rav Ado's ruling that the bread in the scraped out oven is allowed. Why should that be? The scraped out oven is considered non-tzli'esh only with regard to the Pesach, but with regard to other food preparation, for example, the baking of the bread, it should be considered a full-fledged source of fuel, and since the fuel came from a forbidden source, the bread should be forbidden. Omar Le, Rav Ado answers, you'll notice this is number one, he says, Goli Rachmona Hosam, in fact, the Torah reveals that the scraped out oven is not considered Tzli Eish with regard to the Pesach, V'alfinon Mino, and we learn from that to the case of the bread that it's not considered Tzli Eish either. It's considered just mere heat, but not a real source of fuel that should render the bread forbidden. Hence, I rule the bread is allowed. V'iboyesemo, another approach, is Hosam Taimo de Kosar Rachmona Tzli'esh Shtei Pomim. By the Korban Pesach, we conclude that the scraped out oven is not a fulfillment of the Torah requirement because it says Tzli'esh twice. Holoi Kosar Rachmona Tzli'esh Shtei Pomim. Had the Torah not written Tzli'esh twice, Have Amino, I would have thought, A'esh Kopid Rachmona. That the Torah is concerned only with something that we'll call Eish. Now, Eish translated means fire, but that would be a mistake if we rely just on the translation. as you'll see in a second. So without the shtei pomim, without the repeat of the word sliesh, I would have thought v'afilu gorfoi nami sliesh hu, that even scraped out, it is considered sliesh, being that the source of the tanur's current heat is from fire. It's what we call toldas esh. So in the case of the Korban Pesach, the Torah has to repeat sliesh to exclude, to render unfit, the scraped out oven, because without the repeat, I would have thought that a scraped out oven is in fact sliesh, being that its heat originated through fire. Avol hocha, in the case of the bread baking, eitzim di isura kokopid rachmona, what the Torah is prohibiting is benefit from forbidden fuel. Eitzim again translates as wood, but when we're dealing with orla, we're dealing with the shells of the fruits or the peels of the fruits, and hence that's called fuel. Eitzim is also an expression referring to fuel. So in the case of the bread, the Torah is opposing forbidden fuel. In the case that the oven has been scraped out, the forbidden fuel is not there. And that's why the bread is mutter. We continue in the Gemara with a note on the side. The Nosei Mivneh note also indicates Ad Omid Bey, so the discussion will last a while. We will notice a bow tie shape, and that represents Shnei Stiros, so two contradictions that are raised in the course of the sugya. You'll notice the first bow tie immediately, and then on the next omid, on omid base, you see a second bow tie about less than a quarter of the way down from the top. So the Gemara will be raising contradictions, two separate contradictions, and attempt to resolve them. And the diamond highlights Mishnei Mekoros. These are two stiros, will be from two sources, Lashitas Rebbe. You'll notice in the Gemara text we have the Aleph, bow tie, where Romi Le Rav Achdavuye, and the Gemara will question, does Rebbe really say what he did in the opening source? And when we get to Omid Beis, the same type of question arises. Does Rebbe really say that Gicholim are called Eish? And a second source will be raised on this topic. So we have two cases of contradiction raised against what Rebbe opens up with in a source, Lashitas Rebbe, the Gicholim Ikri Eish. Rebbe claims that coals fulfill the halachic requirement of Eish. So, for example, in the roasting of the Korban Pesach, where the Torah requires tzli esh, so roasting Korban Pesach on coals would be a fulfillment of that requirement. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a house form appears, and that represents a shnei yishuvim l'stira rishona, that under the first contradiction, which is raised by Rav Achdavuye Ba'ami, so there will be two resolutions, and they'll be introduced with a house marking as we go into Gemara. We also have a note here that on Omid Beis, triangles will appear, and they represent three yishuvim, three resolutions, l'stira hashnia, the second stira that's raised in the Gemara, where Rava raises a contradiction. The triangles will be attempts to resolve that. So we have a general game plan ahead of us. Let's now read the source, the opening source, Tana Rabbanan. Chotchoi, one cut up a Korban Pesach, cut it open. He didn't dismember it, though. He cut it open. V'nosnoi al gabi gicholim, and he put it on coals. The Rashi explains that he cut it up, but didn't split it, didn't dismember it, so that the roasting takes place faster. And then he, after cutting it open, he then put it on the coals. Rebbe Omer Ani, Shezet Tzli Esh. Rebbe says, I hold that this is a fulfillment of Tzli Esh. Rami le Rav Achtavuyeh bar Ami le Rav Chisda. Rav Achtavuyeh presents a contradiction. He presents it to Rav Chisda, and notice, of course, we have a long question ahead of us. The question is, Mi Omar Rebbe Gecholim equals Eish? Does Rebbe really hold that Gecholim coals fulfill the requirement of Eish? Once again, we mentioned this earlier, but it doesn't hurt to repeat. It's very difficult, very dangerous to fall into the trap of mere translation. Here we're dealing with halachic categories, and we want to know, does the Torah's expectation of tzli eish, of roasting it in eish, is that fulfilled by gecholim? So Rebbe said, yes, gecholim constitutes that halachic category. And now we're going to challenge that. Does Rebbe really hold that? The Rominu, we raise a stira from another source. Now the source comes from a topic called Tumas Negoyim. It's in the realm, the general realm of Tzara'as. And here we're going to deal with a case where a person experienced a burn that's, we'll call, fire-related. A fire-related burn as opposed to, let's say, receiving a bruise and an injury results therefrom. So the fire-related bruise, if it the skin then reddens and a discoloration forms therein, that is called in the Torah michvas eish. The details are really not our preoccupation in this particular sugya, but the source of how this burn arose, that is what we are interested in. So in the source, it says, Michvas Eish, that's a quote from the Pasuk, Ein li ela shenichva be'esh. Well, Michvas Eish means, I would understand that the this type of nega develops when someone had been burnt by fire. Nichva be'gacheles, be'remetz, be'sid roseach, be'gifsis roseach, v'chol dover habo min ha'ur. Lasui chamei ha'ur minayin. And this source goes on to ask about all other kinds of burns. What is the din there? And the source will answer, it says, Tamar lomar michve, michve ribo, that the repeat of the word michve in the pasuk includes other forms of burning. Oh, let's go over the source again. After the source had said from the pasuk michve seish, I know only something, one burned directly by the fire. Nichve begachelis was burnt by a coal. And now, here we dashed underline coal because this is really all we need to focus on. But it says if he was burnt by a coal, beremetz is a hot sand that was heated up by fire, or he's burnt besid roseh, hot lime. Gifsis is a type of sid, a type of lime. V'chol dover habo min ha'ur, anything else whose heat origin is from fire, lasuye chamei ha'ur, to include boiled water, minayin. From where do we know that the nega, this tzoras phenomenon, could be generated by any of these kinds of burns also? So, Talmud lomar michve, michve ribo. The repeat of the word michve in the Torah tells me not just direct fire burn, but other kinds of burns as well. Taimo, the Ravi Rachmano, michva michva. The reason that gacheles is considered eish is because of the extra words in the Torah. Ha lo Ravi Rachmano, michva michva. Had the Torah not repeated michva, which means a burn, so then if I didn't have that repetition, gecholim lav eish ninu, then coals would not constitute eish. Only because of the repeated expression of the Torah do I include coals, gecheles, in the realm of Eish. But on its own, if I didn't have a special scriptural rendering, well, then it wouldn't be considered Eish. Now, if you go to the topic of Pesach, the Korban Pesach, so I don't have any special inclusionary expression. So how in the world could Rebbe say that roasting the Gecholim, roasting, that is, the Korban Pesach, on Gecholim, on coals, fulfills the Tzli Eish Torah requirement? Omarle, notice the house marking. This is a first resolution. Chista says, Gecholis, Gachelis shel Eitz, lo itzdrich kro lirbuye. The Pasuk by Negoyim, when it says that Michvah is coming to include, it's not coming to include a coal whose origin was wood. That's obvious as Eish. Ki itzterich kra, the Pasuk of Michvah to Marbe Gecholim is la Gecheles shel Mateches, an iron coal. So if you have a glowing hot piece of metal, and a person is burnt by that, and then a nega develops, so that will be a nega by virtue of the michva riba. You'll notice we have a bracketed section. It's a very long bracketed section. The note on the side addresses this. The length of these brackets, you notice, continues to the third line from the top of Omid Beis. The explanation on the side is Matras HaSagrayim. The purpose of these brackets is Lafshir Lirois Meroish, to be able to see at the outset Shnei Yishuvei Astiros, the Shitas Rebbe. So that means if you skip to Omid Beis, Ravina Omar, Ravina is a second approach. And what we'll do now is first, since the stira is clear, is fresh in our minds, let's see how Ravina answers it. Ravina Omar, Kroich Utni. Ravina says, rather combine certain phrases in the Mishnah and state it as follows. And now you'll notice how Ravina's reading solves the problem very easily. So we're reading, if you haven't noted, we're four lines from the top of Omid Beis. Michvas Eish, again we're referring to the original source that Rav Achdavuye had raised as a problem. So in that source it says Michvas Eish, the burning through fire that results in a nega, Eimli Ela, Shenichva Be'esh, U Begacheles. Notice that Gacheles is included immediately in the understanding, what we call the Mashmois, in that which is implied by the word Eish, so that the Gacheles is Eish, and as Rebbe said before, if you roast your Korban Pesach on coals, that is considered Sli Eish. Now, what about other sources of burning? Nichva beremetz, besid roseach, ubegipsis roseach, ubechol dover haba machmas haur, and anything else whose heat is generated by fire, lasui chamir, to include boiling water. Minayin, from where do we know that that's also considered michvas eish? Talmud lomar, michva riba. So the ribui from the extra words doesn't come to address the issue of coals. Coals are understood initially as fire, as Eish. So, therefore, there is no problem regarding the Michvas Eish Tanaic source and the opening source of this sugya, where Rebbe declared that you can roast the Korban Pesach on coals, as they are, in fact, Tzli Eish. Of course, we skipped a long section of Gemara, so at our game plan right now is to go over the bracketed section. When we finish the bracketed section, having learned Ravina and his answer just now, that will enable us to continue to pick up after that with the Rava Rumi section of Gemara. Now, as we said, we go back to Omid Aleph. Rav Chista said that your basic wooden coal whose origin is wood, is clearly fire. That's clearly Eish, and you can fulfill Tzli Eish on the coals. The Michva Ribui, in the case of the Negoyim, that was needed for Gecholim Shel Mateches. The Gemara asks, and this question lasts four lines, Ugecholim Shamateches Lav Eish Hu, is an iron coal not considered fire that you need a special pasuk to include it, the Michva Ribui? Vaha Gabi Bas Koyein, regarding an immoral daughter of a Kohen who has a married woman, conducts herself immorally, the Torah says, "Dichtiv bo'esh tisaref." She's punished, capital punishment, through something called esh. The Amar of Matana, and Rav Matana explains what is how is that punishment carried out, i.e., how is she executed through Eish? So Rav Matana says, Psilo shel avor hoyu oisin lo. Psilo is a sometimes translates, it refers to a wick. In this case, it refers to a thin rod of avor. Avor is a type of metal. Sometimes it's translated as lead, and it's the lead is heated up to the point that it's very hot, and then it's inserted into her throat, and her insides are burnt, and hence she dies a fairly rapid, immediate death. So what do we see? We see that we'll call hot metal, red hot metal, if you will, is considered Eish, because as the pasuk says, "Bo Eish tiser," she shall be burned through fire. And it's not as if we what they call in English burn her at the stake, but rather it's this metal rod that's put into her, and that is a fulfillment of Eish. So why do you say in the Michvas Eish source, the Negoyim source, that you need Michve to Marbe, to include a Gachel Shamateches, when a Gachel Shamateches itself is Eish? It's basic Eish. The Gemara explains, it answers, that really a Gachel Shamateches is not Eish, but rather, we have a Gzeres HaKosev to include it as a fulfillment of the Bo'esh Tisaret by the Bas Kohen. Shiny Hossam, that case is different. The Yomakra Bo'esh Tisaref. And the word Tisaref is L'rabois Kol Sreifois Abois Minoesh, to include all kinds of burnings that whose heat source is from fire. So because you have the added word tisaref, as the pasuk reads bo'esh tisaref, so we include all kinds of srefa, including a metal coal. However, if you didn't have this gzeres hakosev of in the case of the bas kohen, so I wouldn't know. I wouldn't conclude that a metal rod would be a fulfillment, because burning metal or a metal coal is not Eish. The Gemara continues, if that be the case, that we're coming to Marbe all kinds of Srefos, all kinds of burnings as far as the Bas Kohen is concerned, the Kol Shekein, this is a question, the Kol Shekein Eish Atzma, are you implying then that if metal coal is considered Eish, then certainly actual wood should be a means of executing her? And you notice we have a colored in diamond tip on the side of the Gemara. We have a Mivneh structure note, a structural note. These diamonds represent Shnei Hatzois, two suggestions, Be'inyan Harigas Bas Koyein, regarding the execution of the immoral behaved daughter of a Kohen, im kfi, but when we say immoral and she's executed, we're talking about a married Bas Kohen. This woman is married and she's behaving immorally with another man. So im kfi sheomrim de tisaref ba'al rabbi is called srefas abos minor, if you're telling me that the tisaref expression comes to include all kinds of burnings, so not only a metal rod burning, we should be able to execute her with actual wood, as we said before, burn at the stake. And as a result, v'nakif la chavile zmoros v'nikle, why not have her surrounded by bundles of wood, zmoros or branches, and burn her that way, burn her at the stake? And we don't do that. We do the metal rod approach, as we described before. So the Gemara explains, you know why we don't use bundles of wood to burn her? Asyos srefa srefa mi bnei aharoin. There's a word comparison called a gzereshava, using the word srefa that we find by the Bas Kohen, and we find by the death of the sons of Aaron. Aaron HaKohen lost his two sons at the consecration of the Mishkan when it was first set up. They had offered what the Torah describes as an Eish Zorah, and they were killed through a miraculous type death, where rays of fire or tongues of fire entered their body and burnt them from their inside. In other words, the body remained intact, but their insides were consumed by this miraculous fire. So we have the word srefa in the case of the death of the sons of Aaron, and we have the word srefa in the context of the execution of the Bas Kohen, and we conclude as follows. Ma lahalon srefas neshama v'guf kayam, just like there by the Bnei Aaron, they were killed through their neshama, their insides being burnt, and their bodies remained intact. Af kan, so too with the execution of the Bas Kohen, srefas neshama v'guf kayam, her execution must be in a fashion where the body remains intact, and that would not be accomplished if you burn her at the stake. The Gemara asks, "Vinavid lo chame ha'ur." Well, another means of execution, as unpleasant sounding as this may be, is why not just pour down her throat some, or boil her in boiling water? If you put the woman into a cauldron of boiling water, so the body remains intact. There's pretty much it's death, but it's leaving the body intact. So the Gemara answers, the reason we don't do that in Mishum de Rav Nachman, based on Rav Nachman's teaching. The Om Rav Nachman, Omar Kro, Rav Nachman says, the Pasuk says, the Ohavto L'Reacha Kamocha, usually translated as, you shall love your friend as yourself. And what the Torah is instructing us is, Bror Lo Misa Yofe, as unfortunate as the circumstances are, and execution is necessary, but at least choose a, for lack of better expression, a pleasant form of execution. So that's why we don't accept the boiling water approach, because that's a very painful, unpleasant form of execution. The Gemara asks, V'chi me'achar diko Rav Nachman, now that we have Rav Nachman's teaching of V'yahavta recha kamocha tells me, bro, l'misa yafe, so gzera shava lomali, what do I need the word comparison for? Just teach me V'yahavta recha kamocha, and I will come to a conclusion that you use a metal rod. The Gemara answers, the answer takes a few lines to develop. Amri, the response is, ilav gzera shava, had I not had the srefa gzera shava between the Bnei Aaron and the Bas Kohen, have amino srefas neshama v'guf kayom lav srefahi, I would have thought that that's not srefa. In other words, that might be the way the Bnei Aaron died, but that's not the way to accomplish bo'esh tisoref that you find by the Bas Kohen. The I mishum de Rav Nachman, and if you'll say, well, what about Rav Nachman? How do I accomplish, on the one hand, not using the metal rod, and on the other hand, having a misa yofe? So the Gemara says, as far as that problem is concerned, nefush lo chavileis moros tuva, have her put into a fire made of a lot of bundles of wood, a very intense, large bonfire with lots of wood, ki hechi de tomus b'argola, so that argola means rapidly, so she would experience a rapid death. Chomash malon, therefore, through the gzera shava, I exclude that method, and I conclude, use the metal rod, because through that I fulfill srefas neshama v'guf kayam, like you found by the Bnei Aaron. The Gemara asks, v'yela bo'esh lomali, now that we've established that the Bas Kohen is killed through the metal rod, because I have the word tisaref, so the pasuk didn't have to use the word bo'esh, just say that she is to be tisaref without the word bo'esh. and through the Gzeirah Shava to Bnei Aaron, I understand it's Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. What does the word Bo'esh accomplish? Answer, Lafuke, to the exclusion of Avor Meikar. Meikar means from its source, mind-led. Apparently, mind-led is very hot. So, the Torah is telling me, you cannot use mind-led to execute the Bas Kohen, but rather, you have to expose the Avor to an actual fire before executing her with it. Now, we have a question that lasts a couple of lines. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks, V'chol hecho dechsi bo'esh tisaref, wherever you see the expression, bo'esh tisaref, l'rabois kol sreifas abois machmas eshu, is that really so, that the expression bo'esh tisaref comes to include all kinds of heat that had as its origin fire? V'chol gabi poram anisrafim, we find in the Torah in concerning the topic of Purim Hanisrafim. These are different types of sacrifices that are to be burnt. Were literally the cows that were a sacrifice, so they are to be burnt. And regarding that kind of, we'll call that procedure, that way of dealing with the Purim Hanisrafim, Dichtivu, it says in the Pasuk, V'soraf oisoi al eitzim bo'esh. So you have in this pasuk the word soraf, and you have bo'esh, v'tanya, and the source tells me bo'esh, v'loi besid roiseach, v'loi begifsis roiseach. So even though you've got the bo'esh tisaref words, before we said by the Bas Kohen that bo'esh tisaref, and we have a little arrow, by the way, to the immediate left-hand side of the text, where we were able to be marbe the psilo shel avor in the case of the Bas Kohen because of bo'esh tisaref, which was marbe, which included other kinds of srefos. But here you have the same type of wording. You've got the word esh, and you've got the word saraf, and we're excluding other kinds of heat sources. Amalei, Rabbi Zera answers. He answers Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare the verbal construction, the wording by the topic of the Bas Kohen, where we were inclusive, to the case of the way we deal with the Purim Hanisrafim, which are, as we just learned, are to be burnt in fire and not in other heat sources. So the Rabbi Zera says, Hasam deksiv, in the case of the Bas Kohen, it says Bo'esh v'hadar tisaref. The order of the words is significant. First, the pasuk refers to fire, and then it says tisaref, which is l'rabba, is called srefas abos machmas ho'esh. That comes to include other kinds of fires, other kinds of heat sources as well. Heat sources or items that became hot through fire. So you have first the word esh, and tisaref comes to include more. Hacha, by the case of the Purim HaNisrafim, k'siv v'soraf oisal eitzim bo'esh. The first the word soraf appears, and then the word esh, which tells me lebesof esh. You've got the word esh at the end of the pasuk, lemeimra de esh in midyachrin alo, telling me that only through fire is the Purim HaNisrafim to be dealt with, and not through anything else. The Gemara asks, Hosam Nami, but in the case of the Purim HaNisrafim, Ksiva Srefa LeBesof. If you look at the Pasuk, you'll see the word Srefa at the end. Dichtiv, and we're making reference to the Pasuk that we have included on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Perek Dalet Pasuk Yibbeis. And it says in that pasuk, "Dichtiv al shefech hadeshen isoreif." And you can see at the on the, in the margin at the bottom of Omed Aleph, there is the pasuk with the word isoreif appearing at the end. So why not marbe all kinds of srefos? Why not include other srefos abos machmas eish? The Gemara answers, Amri, Hahu Yisoref, the Yisoref word at the end of the Pasuk dealing with the Parim Hanisrafim, Miboya Le Lichiditanya. That is needed for something else, for that which is taught in this source. Yisoref, Afalpi She'ein Shom Deshen. Even though the Pasuk said Al Shefech HaDeshen, nevertheless, Deshen is a reference to ash. So the Pasuk is telling me at the end, the word Yisrael tells me, burn the carcasses of the Parim and Sofim, even if there is no previous ash there. Yisoref, Afalpi She, Hatsis, Ha'ur, Berubo. That means that even though you have lit the majority of the carcass of that type of korban that we call Parim and Nisrafim, you must continue occupying yourself with the burning until the end of its consumption, until the end of its burning. So the word Yisoref there is used up already for this particular teaching. Hence, I'm left with the original construction where you have a Soraf and then Bo'esh, which tells me that the Parim and Sofim are burnt only in fire, as opposed to the case of the Bas Kohen, where the construction was in the opposite direction. First you had Bo'esh, and then said Tisoref, comes to include something else, namely the heated lead rod. As we pointed out before, Ravina also provided a resolution to the skira that was raised within Revi. And we continue now, skipping down a couple lines. Rava Rami. And you'll notice this is a long question, but take note ahead of time that there is a bracketed section representing most of this long question. And we will initially skip the bracketed section so that we can get immediately to the stira that Rava is raising. And within the brackets, the text requires correction, and the Gemara takes care of that. So the long question begins. Rava Rami. Rava raises a problem, a stira. Mi Amar Rebbe Gecholim Ikru Eish. Does Rebbe really hold that coals are considered Eish, through which Rebbe allowed the roasting of the Korban Pesach on top of coals? The Romini, we raise the following contradiction, and this, the source that will be introduced after the bracketed section, is in effect a rereading of the source that follows immediately, and it concerns the coals used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for the Ketores offering that took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a Pasuk from Vayikra, Perek, Tesvov, Pasuk Yud Beis. It says, V'lokach, we're reading the Pasuk that's on the side of our Gemara, V'lokach meloi hamachto, gachalei esh, me'al hamizbech mifnei Hashem. He shall take a pan full of gachalei esh from the altar that's in front of Hashem, Maloy Chafon of Ketura Samim Dako Vevi Mibeis Laparoch. He also takes a double handful of ground incense and brings it Mibeis Laparoch, as he brings it inside the inner sanctum. So the Gemara continues with Rava asking, does Rebbe really say Gecholim are considered Eish? And Veramini, we raise a stira from the following source. Now we're skipping. At the end of the line, you notice the word gachale. Yochol bein oimemois bein lochoshos. The posuk in the case of Yom Kippur, it says he shall take a panful of gachale esh. So the word gachale would imply, or could it mean, whether they're oimemos or lochosh. Oimemos are coals that are, they're, Rashi says, kavuyos, they're extinguished coals. They're hot, but there's no flame coming from them. And lochashos are hissing coals. They're hotter. There might be a flame emanating from them. So the word gachale in the pasuk would say maybe omemos or lochashos, tamad loimar Esh. After the word Gachale in the Pasuk, it said, and you can always refer to the Pasuk on the side, V'lokach M'loa Machto Gachale Esh. So after the word Gachale, the word Esh appeared, to the exclusion of the Oimimois, of the extinguished coals. Well, Eish, Yochol Shalheves, if you're emphasizing the word Esh, so without Gacheles, so could he bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the burning of the incense a flame? Talmud Lomar, Gachale. He can't bring a flame in. He's got to bring Gachale. Ha Ketzad. So how do you resolve Gachale with the word Esh? Mevi min halochashos. He brings hissing coals. And he'll bring them into the inner sanctum, and eventually he'll place the incense on these hissing coals. Mikol mokoim gecholim lo ikri esh. It's clear then from this drosha that gecholim are not considered esh. In order to include in order to conclude lochashos, I couldn't use the word esh. I had to use the word gachale. So that shows me that coals are not esh. The word esh would have implied a flame, not coals. So kashya l'Rebbe. This will then pose a difficulty to Rebbe. Rebbe says you can put the Korban Pesach meat, you can put the Korban Pesach directly on the coals, because that is tzli esh. We continue with Abaye providing an answer, and that's what we introduced on Amud Aleph, the triangles here. Try to resolve Shitas Rebbe. Are Gecholim considered Eish or not? Now, we did have a bracketed section, so let's go back and deal with that before we get to the answers. So we go back to the beginning of the brackets. The first word in line is Veraminu. Veramini, we raise a contradiction or a kashan Rebbe from the following source, Gachale. And once again, we're referring to the Posuk in Vayikra, Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk Yud Beis. So, Gachale Yochol Omimos, does that mean that the coin can take extinguished coals? Tamalomar Eish. Posuk says Gachale Eish. That therefore it can't be extinguished coals. Well, E-Eish, Yochol Shalheves. If that's the case, can I bring a flame into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the burning of the incense? Talmud Lomar, Gachale. Nope, you can't bring a flame, you have to bring Gachale. Ho Ketzad, Mevi Min HaLochashos. You bring hissing coals. The Kohen shall choose hissing coals from the Mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash and bring them in together with the incense to the Holy of Holies. So now we've presented this source. The Gemara asks regarding the source, V'hal Gufa Kashya, the source has an inherent contradiction. Amris, on the one hand you say Gachale, Yochol Omamos, by the virtue of the word Gachale, I thought maybe you could bring in even extinguished coals. Then the Pasuk uses the word Eish and says, no, you can't bring extinguished coals. So what does Eish represent? Alma lochashos equals Eish ninhu. Hissing coals are Eish. Gecholim gachale itself would have implied I can even use extinguished coals. Comes along the word Eish to say, don't bring in extinguished coals, but bring in hissing coals. So the hissing coals, the lochashos, are considered esh. Amos Seifa. Then you continue reading the source, and it says in that source, esh, if the Torah is using the word esh, well, that would imply yochol shalheves. Does that mean the Kohen brings a flame into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Talmud Lomar gachale. No, don't bring a flame in. Bring gachale. Alma, what does this show us? That afilu lo chashos lav eish ninu. The word eish would have been associated with a flame, not with hissing coals. So hissing coals are not eish. If you just compare the dashed underlining, that we had in the last two lines. Before we said lo chashos equals esh. Here we see lo chashos lav esh. The Omer Rav Sheshes hachi kotoni, and Rav Sheshes then resolves this technical problem and says, read the source as follows: Gachale yochol bein omemos bein lo chashos. Does that mean that the Kohen Gadol can bring in whatever kind of coals he wants? Tamad lomar esh. After the word gachale, you see the word esh. That comes to exclude the extinguished coals, the omelos. Eish, well, if I had the word esh, and if that's what I'm emphasizing, so esh without gachale, yochol shalheves, does that imply then he could bring in a flame? Tamalomar gachale. The word gachale says no, you can't bring in a flame. So how do you resolve the matter? Maybe min halochashos, you bring hissing coals. Mikol mokom, from all of this we see, gecholim lo ikri esh, that coals are not called esh. The word esh would have implied a flame, but not coals. Kashio l'Rebbe, this then presents a problem for Rebbe. Rebbe says that you can roast your Korban Pesach on coals, because that would be Tzli Eish. But here we see that Eish is associated with the flame, not with the hissing coals. Omar Abaye Tritz Hachi. So Abaye presents to us the first method, the first of a couple methods of resolution. Gechale Yochol Omemos V'lo Lochashos. If the Torah said Gechale, so does that mean that you can bring only extinguished coals and not hissing coals, because lo chashos are not called gachale? Tamud lomar esh. So the Torah says not just gachale, but gachale esh. Well, e esh yochol rotza shalheves yavi rotza gacheles yavi. If esh is the focus of our attention, then does that mean that the person can bring in either a shalheves, a flame, or a coal? Tamud lomar gachale. So gachale is to be darshaned and not focus on the word esh by itself. And the resolution, ha-ketzat, mevi min alochashos. So what does, what, how do I know lochashos are to be used? Because of the word gachale. But gachale on its own is not the end of the story. Therefore, we see that according to this Kohen Gadol source on Yom Kippur, gachale esh in fact refers to the lochashos. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us glance at the Rashi, a number of lines down from here, in the narrow lines. Omra bai tritz hochi gachale yochol oimemois velo lochashos. Velo chashos lav gachale ninhu eloesh. Had the pasuk spoken about gachale, I would have thought only extinguished coals. Tamud lomar esh. Dehainu lochashos, so that the word esh is telling me bring lochashos. Now that is of central significance for the original problem, so that with this understanding we see how Rebbe can say you can roast your Korban Pesach on hissing coals, because that's what esh tells me. Now we continue in the Rashi, avo baseifa lo tema, regarding the seifa of the source, don't say E-esh, yochol shalheves velo gacheles. Don't read it like that, elo. Rather, e-esh. If I'm to emphasize the word esh, yochol rotzo gecholim lochashos, rotzo shalheves velo gecholim. U-travayu esh mikru. So, at this point then, gecholim lochashos is understood as esh. So, can he, however, have an option of bringing in a flame? Tamud lomar gachale esh, limute shalheves greitza. all the pasuk is coming to exclude is a flame. Don't bring in a flame to the Kodesh and Kodeshim, but hissing coals you bring in. And how do I learn hissing coals? From the presence of the word Eish, in addition, that's associated with Gehaleh. So hissing coals are Eish. Omar Rava. Now Rava has his take on it. Rotsa, and of course you note that you can see there's this is Rava Aleph, and that's why in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara you can see a triangle number 2 under which you see the Aleph. That it will be like he restated a few lines from now where the 2 bays appears. So Rava says Rotsa Gacheles Yavi, Rotsa Shalheves Yavi. When the Pasuk says Gachalei Eish, are we to understand that if he wants he can bring a Gacheles, and if he wants he can bring a flame? So the Gemara asks, Shalheves below Gacheles Hechi Mishkachas Law, how can you have a flame without a coal? So the Gemara says that we can answer. Kagon Deshafye Lamona Mashcha, he smeared a vessel, a mona is a vessel, with mashcha, with oil, the asli bay nura, and lit the fuel, the oil. So there you have a flame without a coal. The Gemara asks, Hahu lomali krolimute, that case. Let's not forget, we're dealing with the Kohen Gadol bringing a source of fire into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when you have a pasuk, the Gzeres HaKosev, that comes to exclude something, it's coming to exclude something that without the Gzeres HaKosev, without the verse, I would have thought you could do it. In this case, would you have thought on your own that the Kohen Gadol will take a vessel, smear it with oil, light it, and bring that into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Hahu lamali kralimuti. What do I need a pasuk of Gachali Eish to exclude that? Hashta lefnei melech baser v'domei noisin kain. In front of a mortal king, you wouldn't do thusly. Lefnei melech malchei hamlochim hakadosh baruch hu lo kol shekain. All the more so when you're dealing with the holy of holies of the Beis Hamikdash in front of the Almighty Himself, you certainly aren't going to burn incense in that fashion. So this Rava reading of the source of Rotsa Gacheles Yavi and Rotsa Shalheves Yavi as an option, and the Pasuk precludes or excludes that option, that's not necessary. Even without the Pasuk, I would have understood that. Elo Omar Rava Tritz Hachi. Rather, read the original source as follows. And again, the goal here is to preserve Rebbe's original teaching that a coal is considered Eish. So what about the pasuk by the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur? So it reads as follows. Gachale, yochol omemos velo lochashos. Does that mean bring in specifically extinguished coals and not hissing coals? Talmud lomar, eish. So the word eish says, you do bring in hissing coals. E eish, yochol yovi, mechso gacheles umechso shalheves. Does that mean then that when he goes to the external altar to get the coals, that he seeks out a coal that's part a coal and part flame? And what's the logic behind that? Ad ha'ayil l'govai havi kulei gachelus. By the time he goes from the external mizbeach into the inner sanctum, it will become completely coal. So is that the way to do things? To seek out something that's partial coal, partial flame? Talmud lomar velokach mloy hamachto gachalei eish me'al hamizbeach, which teaches me mishas lekicha nevi gecholim, from the time that you take it, from the initial taking, it shall be in a coal form, not part flame, part coal, but completely coal. Once again, for our purposes, the word Eish refers to a hissing coal. So with that in mind, we're able to preserve Rebbe's original teaching about placing Korban Pesach on coals to be roasted. The Gemara asks, Ivayalaho, Oimimos or Armimos? When we speak about the Gecholim that are Oimimos, is that word spelled with an Aleph or with an Ayin? Omer Abitzok, Arozim lo Armimuhu, Began Elohim. So from this Pasuk, you see that the word Armimos is spelled with an Ayin and not with an Aleph. We continue with a Mishnah that deals with the problem of a Korban Pesach, part of which became roasted through something other than direct fire. The Mishnah, Noga Becharsoi Shel Tanur. If the Korban Pesach meat touched the clay wall of the oven. Now, at that point, that part of the Korban Pesach became roasted through contact with heated clay. So, if that happens, yikloif es mekoimo. You have to peel off a surface of the meat that became roasted through its that part of the meat that had contact with the tanur that you peel off yikloif. Notaf meroitvoy al hacheres v'chazar elov. If some juices, rotev is often translated as gravy. Here we're dealing with dripping juices from the Korban Pesach. So some of those juices drop, they fall onto the cheres, onto the clay wall of the oven, the chazar elov, and it spurted back onto the meat. So yitol es mekoimoi. That part of the Korban Pesach that was roasting, that was contacted through this splash of rotev back onto the meat, so there we say you have to yitol es mekomo. And Rashi explains that yitol is more than yiklof. Yitol is remove that part, that section. Now why is a mere klipa, a peel or a thin layer removal, not enough? So the reason for this is because the gravy or the fats that were dripping and hit the oven wall and became heated up through the oven wall is fatty material, fatty substance, and that gets rapidly absorbed into the meat as it splashes back onto the meat. And as we said, that shemen or the fats that dripped onto the oven wall are in effect being heated up through the oven wall and not through the fire, and the gravy itself then, when it splashes back onto the meat, is roasting the meat or roasting it through that heated gravy, and that is not sli'esh. The Mishnah continues, notaf meroitvoi al hasoilus. If gravy from a Korban Pesach drips onto some soles. Soles is flour. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, that we're talking about soles, very hot flour. As a result of the gravy dropping onto this very hot flour, so the gravy is cooked up or roasted up through the heat of the soles. So now that gravy essentially is part of the Korban Pesach, and it's being cooked up or heated up through the soles, which is not eish. So you can't eat that gravy that's in the soles. Therefore, the solution, as far as the soles is concerned, is yikmoitz es mekoma. You remove a handful of the flour where this rotev had dropped. Sochay b'shemen truma. If the Korban Pesach was smeared with truma oil, truma is tithe that is given to a kohen, and only a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So now what did they do? They smeared the Korban Pesach with truma oil, olive oil that's tithe and given to a kohen. So im chaburas kehanim yochlu. If you're dealing with the chabura, the people that were joined together to eat this particular Korban Pesach, they happen to be all Kohanim, so they can eat it. Im Shel Yisrael, if the group that's eating this particular Korban Pesach, this Pesach that was smeared with Truma oil, so then Im Chai, who, if the meat is still raw, Yadichenu, so just rinse it off. Vim Tzli, who, if you have a group of non-Kohanim that happen to smear a roasted Korban Pesach, Yikloif Es Achitza, then peel off the outer layer of the Korban Pesach meat. Sochoy B'Shemen Shel Meiser Sheni. If the Korban Pesach was smeared with Meiser Sheni oil, Meiser Sheni is a tithe taken from 10% of one's produce in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year sabbatical cycle. So the Mishnah is describing, okay, and by the way, that tithe must be eaten within Jerusalem. So if he smeared his Korban Pesach with shemen of Meiser Sheni, lo yasenu domim al b'nei chabura, you cannot charge the members of the group eating the Korban Pesach for this Meiser Sheni addition, the oil addition. She'ein mochrin Meiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim, because there's a prohibition of selling Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. And if they would pay for it, then in effect you are selling to them Meiser Sheni oil, albeit it's on the meat, but it still would be prohibited, being that it's considered the sale of Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. The ensuing Gemara is a sugya that lasts quite a ways down the next daf, so this is a convenient pausing point. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.